Good evening, everybody. I had, maybe I'll be able to get to what I was thinking about for the talk, but I wanted to mention we each have our own way of doing things, even though they're forms of the forms, when each person does it, whatever the form is, whether it's a bowing or chanting, prostrations or getting settled on the mat, it becomes an expression of that person. The first time I saw the Buddha's birthday celebration, there's a part where the baby Buddha is bathed in sweet tea, and there's a sort of classic ladle and just kind of pour, and there were quite a few people in the temple. And each person poured differently and say, okay, we just, you just have to bathe the baby Buddha in tea, but you can see how many expressions there are. And from, of course, that makes sense. Not only don't any two people do everything alike, but most of us don't do things the way we did them just a minute ago. Mm-hmm. It's just ourselves. We have a different kind of expression every moment, actually. But as I sometimes watch see the way people do things in the Zendo, I can tell when people are really connecting with what they're doing and when they're not. And the key is their sincerity. So we're all here sincerely and practicing sincerely, but some moments we're more in touch with that sincerity than in others. And you can see it, for example, in a bow. You can tell when people are completely putting themselves in the bow, or when it's just, there's not so much sincerity involved there. It's just the form. When the sincerity content is high, all is always forgiven. We should know that about sincerity. Sincerity is kind of magical. We may not do things in the best way, and we may not accomplish what we hope to accomplish, and sometimes we may actually mess things up. As you know, we sincerely make an attempt, and sometimes we sincerely screw things up. But from a Zen perspective, the quality of heart and the quality of being that is in a person who is genuinely sincere is the quality of their Buddha expression. And so we should recognize it. And like with all parts of our practice, the more we practice sincerity, the more it becomes part of the quality of our being, part of the quality of our heart and our mind, and part of the quality of our way of being in the world and what we give to the world and the nature of the expression, no matter what we're doing. That sincerity can be felt everywhere, by the people around us. And by us, we can feel that sincerity. When we practice with a sincere heart, and practice with a sincere mind, our practice is really the Buddha's practice. If you think about what the word sincerity might mean to you, I think that we would come up with similar kinds of ideas because we come from the same culture. Sincerity might mean really mean it, or heartfully, or authentically, genuinely. We might have that. You might have some other words for it. I keep wanting to say sincerely because it says it so well. But does anyone know what that word means, sincere? Sin is like without. What is sincere? Anybody know? I'd like to know. There's a way in which, even when we blow it, if we are truly sincere, there's no ego attachment. And this is a very important part of sincerity. We may say, I really mean it. I'm really sincere. And so we have a kind of feeling about the I in that statement. But it's the sincere part that purifies the I part when the heart is really giving itself completely, when the person is really giving herself or giving himself completely. So when we bow, or when we gassho, or when we do prostrations, or when we chant, and when we sit, and when we turn around after gassho-ing to our cushion, and there's nobody there, but we make a sincere gassho to the world that's right in front of us, something actually happens inside of us. We let go. We let go of our expectations. We let go of our needs. We let go of our desire to be approved of. We let go of everything. We let go of all of the sort of unfinished business of the ego. And it is just unfinished business. It's not bad. It's just unfinished business. You know, we haven't sort of genuinely accepted who and what we are as we are. And so the practice of sincerity is very, very important for us. Because the more we're able to do it in these simple actions, these simple acts, the more that becomes what our heart will give to the world. We can trust ourselves when we're sincere in the way that I'm talking. We can trust. We don't have to think, oh, I don't want to do any harm. We won't do any harm. And when we do, it won't be harm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may not make sense to you, but that's really the case. So even when we do, we don't. Because most of the harm comes from an insincere heart. A heart that's separated from its activity. A heart that's separated from other beings, from other lives. A heart that is much more concerned with itself and its own existence than with recognizing how it fits in with the whole rest of the world. A bodhisattva's life is nothing but sincerity. Not ego sincerity. You understand the difference. True sincerity. True sincerity, another way to talk about it is nothing is hidden because there is no need to hide. Nothing is protected because there is no threat coming from anywhere. Nothing is afraid because there's nothing to be afraid of. It's completely open. It's an absolutely open hand that's being offered to the world. And that world, of course, includes the one offering. So we're not left out. It's not altruism. It's oneness. This is very, very different. It's not doing goodness. It's goodness itself, functioning. And we get to experience it as a moment in our lives. I think like most parents, my parents had a real life, which means some joy, some pain, together as a couple. They were married for 60 plus years. And my father was a pretty tough guy. He certainly wasn't, he was very tender-hearted, but he was very tough in every way. And so he didn't sentimentalize things. But toward the end of his life, he said something that touched me so deeply and actually changed me in a way, because he said it so sincerely. He said, all the good that has come to me in my life is the result of your mother.
Can you repeat that, please?
All the good that has come to me in my life is the result of your mother.
Wow.
It just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And he really meant it. He knew that that was true. And he had reached a point where he was able to actually say, and wanted to say that to his sons, you know, so that we would know something. And when he said that, I recognized that there was a glue there between them that I had never really seen before. I had really never understood it before. They were devoted to each other. They were good to each other. They were bad to each other. That, you know, just sort of had a normal life. But this man knew what this woman really gave to him. And he knew that none of it was of his making, that it really did come from her. And when I heard that, I thought, those are eyes to put in your head. Those are important eyes to have. Where is the goodness coming from? In your life or in my life? What is the source of goodness that comes to us? And it expanded my understanding of what life was. Just that simple statement. And so his sincere heart was able to know it and express it uncharacteristically. Tough men of that generation didn't talk that way. My father was born 98 years ago. I mean, those guys didn't talk about that. So he was a Buddha waking up to the fact of his life right there. I guess I want to encourage you in our practice. Don't miss a single opportunity to practice sincerity. Don't miss a single chance. Every time you put your hands together, do it with great sincerity. Every time you do a prostration, every time you begin your zazen, really let go completely, so that the sincerity that's, you know, that's your heart's nature really can be experienced by you, can be expressed. In Zen, there are many kinds of, you know, encounters between people, of course, just like in life. And but the encounters between teachers and students, one of the things that a teacher is checking is this very thing I'm talking about. Is the quality of the open and openness of the heart. The willingness to let go. And that's how teachers can help guide their students. When they see students letting go more and more, they know that things are going well in their practice. When they see students giving away more and more of that ego protection, they know things are going pretty well here. And of course, the opposite. When they see the clinging continuing to get stronger and stronger and stronger, they know they have to become better teachers so that they can work. And it's this quality of sincerity that is right at the heart of that dialogue, basically. When the teacher and student are intimate, the teacher can trust the student, and the student can trust the teacher to work on this very thing. this very sincerity. And that's all that's really needed. Nothing else is really needed, nothing fancy. Just that. Just that willingness to give yourself completely away. So I just saved this talk I was going to bring for another day. I think this one is done. Does anyone have anything they want to talk about?
Could I say something?
Yeah, please.
When you talk about sincerity, what came to my mind was something that has really been affecting me a lot lately is the outpouring of the nation with Jack Layton trying to get a handle on what it was. You called it a bit of magic and whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And the words that were constantly being used over and over and over again were authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And today, something came to me that astonished me. Somebody said that it's possible that he knew he was dying and he had come to terms with it. And he gave himself in that authenticity in a way that we had never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the same sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I think in the political realm, you can tell the difference between who's in it for the people and who's in it for themselves. Don't you think?
But it was much more personal.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to terms with your own death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I suppose when you come to terms with your own death, you really know there's nothing to protect.
Yeah.
So you give it away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's embedded in our bodhisattva vow that our lives don't belong to us. But we have to take care of them. But they don't belong to us. They belong to all beings.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's a great comment about him.
To see that so publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think if any other public figure in my lifetime seems to have received the kind of response that he has. And I don't...
Roosevelt?
Maybe Roosevelt. Yeah, it was before my lifetime, but maybe Roosevelt. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just barely before my lifetime, but before. Yeah, maybe Roosevelt. Yeah. Something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu. President Kennedy. Yeah. Many. I think there have been a number that have really opened themselves in a way that showed their vulnerability, but their strength,
mm-hmm.
and their sincerity.
Yeah, Kennedy was tricky because the violence of what took his life changed the way he was perceived. Mm-hmm. Interesting. We should probably stop then.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.